Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Thursday, February 6th edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of MMA. A couple of pieces of news to talk about today and a few fight announcements, which should be pretty good, but let's get right into it. And I got to plug, once again, the podcast I did with Cole Sheldon on Tuesday, breaking down UFC 247, which takes place, of course, this Saturday. It should be a good card. All right, so let's get into the news. I want to start with UFC 246. Obviously, it took place last month, but still relevant because Disney's head CEO came out the other day and gave their first quarter earnings and basically said that UFC 246 broke a bunch of records, including the most streamed pay-per-view of all time for a sporting event. It did about a million buys, which broke the record previously held by KSI and Logan Paul at 814,000, if I'm not mistaken. So obviously a big increase there by almost 200,000 buys. According to Dave Meltzer, he has a lot of numbers at MMA Fighting. I also have the article at BJ Penn if you want to check it out. But basically, the UFC brought in about $70 million just from purchases of the pay-per-view at home, the stream alone. And the ESPN Plus subscription base went up by a million. So it's incredible what UFC 246 did and what Conor McGregor's done. Basically, what the guy was saying was they've just hit a home run with this deal between the UFC and ESPN Plus. So they're doing really well. It'd be nice if it trickled down to the fighters. That's the one thing I'll say. You know, the UFC is making a bunch of money. ESPN is making a bunch of money, but are the fighters going to make all the money now? Like, they deserve a little bit more of the pie, if you ask me. But it's incredible what they're doing, for sure. It's definitely been a good deal for both sides so far, and especially for Conor McGregor. The one thing I'll say is this, like, is he really getting paid $80 million? That's what basically the UFC took in for the whole event. Is he getting paid all of that? I don't really know. So I think that number he threw like last month is a little iffy, but he's definitely going to get paid a lot. And I really think that the card was based on his back. So that's why they did so well, because of Conor McGregor and UFC 246 and ESPN. They smashed out of the ballpark. So good for them. But like I said, I hope that fighters get a little bit of the pie. All right, this weekend's pay-per-view, of course, John Jones takes on Dominic Reyes. And John Jones explained the other day why he chose Dominic Reyes over Corey Anderson. It comes down to finishing ability. In his opinion, Dominic Reyes is more of a finisher. He's proven that at the UFC level more often than Corey Anderson. He's mostly a decision machine. He did have some nice things to say about both guys. Said he was impressed with them. But basically, it was Dominic Reyes because he's more exciting and he finishes fights, which I think is mostly true. Of course, Anderson is coming off a great win over Johnny Walker, where he knocked him out at UFC 244. It was a surprising win. He looked great in that fight. But in general, Dominic Reyes is more of a finisher than Corey Anderson. So I agree with John Jones on what he said about this. If I was John Jones, I would have taken Dominic Reyes too. If that was the choice, those two guys, it's got to be Dominic Reyes over Corey Anderson. Although I think if Corey beats Jan Błachowicz next week, he could possibly be the next guy in line. But I think he's got to get a finish in that fight. If he just holds down Błachowicz for five rounds, I don't think anyone's going to be asking for him to get a title shot. So in my opinion, if he finishes that fight, he's got a much better chance to get that title shot. Ron Hubbard, a couple of comments here. Thanks, Ron. Dana, greedy and selfish. Yeah, you know, it's Dana, but also ESPN, you know, and Disney. They're all in it together. You know, they're all making money. They're all happy, right? But like I said, it's got to trickle down to the fighters a little bit more. It's just messed up. You got guys fighting your prelims on these pay-per-views that are pulling in like $100 million, and you got guys fighting for $10,000. It's kind of messed up. So it'd be nice to see their salaries go up, even at the lower level. Like, even if we went up to like 20 and 20 to start instead of 10 and 10 or 12 and 12, whatever it is right now. Anyways, moving down here, Korean Zombie. He's criticizing Alexander Volkanovski. Basically said he doesn't finish fights either. So another guy using the doesn't finish fights thing as basically a reason to go after someone. You know, for the most part, he's probably right. And Volkanovski is more of a decision fighter from what we've seen. But he does have some knockouts. I mean, he knocked out Chad Mendes. So I didn't completely understand what Zombie was saying. He's like, he has one knockout in 10 years. But if you look at his resume, that's not even true. Like, Chad Mendes he knocked out. Jeremy Kennedy finished the UFC. Kazuki Kasawa. So he's finished a bunch of guys, and then even before that, he had a bunch of knockouts. I don't understand the criticism. It was kind of weird. Yeah, the last fight with Holloway went the distance. The fight with Aldo went the distance. But in general, like, I think Volkanovski is a guy that can finish fights. So kind of weird criticism. Like, I understand the guy wants to fight, but at least, like, back it up with facts, you know? Having said that, I'd love to see Korean Zombie fight Alexander Volkanovski. It'd be a great fight. Love to see it. It'd be a fun one if it happened. But looks like Max Holloway is going to be getting that rematch instead. Let's get to some fight announcements. There's actually a couple of good ones announced here. So first one, Ovince St. Preux against Shamil Gamzatov at UFC Nebraska. OSP was suspended, but suspension's over. Basically, it was like a three-month thing for some stuff like Osterine, which is basically something that a lot of guys have been testing positive for. Diego Sanchez, Tim Means, I think Gil Romero, but they've been getting off because these basically these supplements are tainted. So thankfully these guys got off, and the USADA helped them get a short suspension of only 3 months. OSP will be taking on Gamzatov, like I said. So OSP is coming off a nice win over Michael Oleksiak. He won by Von Fluchoke in that fight. Looked really good. I think it was his fourth Von Fluchoke, which is absolutely incredible. Obviously, they need to change the name of it to the Von Prudchoke at this point. Jason Von Flu hasn't fought in forever, like 15 years. And OSP is the guy who's carried on the legacy. I mean, he's the best at it. He has four of them in the UFC. So to me, they should change the name of that choke to Von Prue. Anyways, yeah, he looked really good in that last fight. It was a surprising win. I think a lot of us thought that he'd probably lose that fight, but he got the win. He takes on Gamzatov here. And Gamzatov, he had one fight in the UFC, and he won a decision over Clinton Abreu. Overall, he's undefeated 14-0. Wasn't too impressed with him against Clinton Abreu. It wasn't a very good performance. He did have some experience in PFL before that, in WSOF and ACB. So this guy's fought a little bit around the world. But I don't know, like, a tough one to call here. I mean, OSP is a guy that a lot of us underrate all the time. But, you know, Gamzatov wasn't too impressive. So I think it's kind of a coin flip. I guess I lean towards OSP a little bit just based on experience. But, you know, he's kind of a hard guy to bet on, especially if he's a favorite. He's more of a guy you want to bet on as an underdog. Next up, we got Jalen Turner against Joshua Kulabao at UFC Auckland. So Jalen Turner getting a short notice opponent here. Jalen Turner is coming off a loss to Matt Frevola. Overall, 1-2 in the UFC. Hasn't really shown what we expected of him coming off of the Contender Series. Lost to Vicente Luque, beat Callum Potter, and lost to Frevola. So he's got to pick it up here. And he was supposed to take on Jimmy Mularkey. Mularkey pulled out with an injury. Now he's taking on Kulabao. And Joshua Kulabao, pull him up here. He's a newcomer to the UFC, of course. Overall, he is 8-0, so he's got a nice record here, coming off a couple of knockouts. Don't know a bunch about him, but he is a veteran of the Australian regional scene, so you know he's going to have some experience. He'll have the hometown crowd behind him, supposedly. And, yeah, I mean, this could be a good fight. I mean, you got to favor Turner, just based on the experience and the pedigree, but it's kind of tough to bet on him at this point because he hasn't looked that good in the UFC. He's got some holes in his game. And the one last fight announcement here, it's actually a one championship. Brandon Vera takes on Arjun Buller for the heavyweight championship and one championship. So Brandon Vera, he's 42 years old now. He's coming off a knockout loss to Ong Lanasang, but before that, he won four straight fights. I do think Brandon Vera still got something left in the tank, but you know that last fight was pretty brutal. But he did have four straight knockouts before that, so he's not completely done yet. Arjun Buller, though, he's a lot younger. He's got a little win streak going on here, coming off a win over Mauro Cirilli in his one debut, and before that, beaten Juan Adams in a big upset in the UFC. And not big upset, but it was a close fight. But yeah, I mean, it was kind of an upset in my mind anyways. Uses wrestling, definitely not a big upset. I don't know why I said that. But yeah, overall, he went 3-1 in the UFC. He had that loss to Wieserick by Omar Plata, but overall, he's decent. I mean, with the wrestling, he should have a really good chance to take Vera down and hold him there for five rounds. But Vera has the knockout power, so it should be an interesting fight. Kevin Scott's got a couple of questions here. I'm going to answer your email question too, Kevin. I don't think UFC gets enough credit for money they put back in the sport. Performance institutes aren't cheap, and so many free services free to all their athletes. Yeah, I agree with that. But, you know, that's something that's been pretty relatively new the last few years, for sure, though. I agree that they've done a great job with that. If you had to choose Jones by distance or Jones by decision, I kind of favor Jones by decision. I mean, we haven't seen Reyes get finished yet, but it could go either way. I mean, Jones does finish a lot of fights, so we'll see what happens. Let's see here. PFL. Here's your question, Kevin. You see PFL is doing one-night tournaments in random parts of the world to fill out their roster for the upcoming season. I love it. Do you know how they will be forming? It will be a two-round fights in the first and three rounds to determine the winner. Who knows if they'll be televised in North America. But I like the idea a lot more than just bringing back all the same guys year after year. Yeah, I saw that. It's pretty cool. So they're going to be doing these like qualifying tournaments. I'm guessing the guys who are winning the tournaments or looking most impressive will be invited to the actual PFL, which is cool. I mean, they said that they wanted to turn over half the roster. It looks like they're doing a good job of that. They signed some free agents like Rory McDonald. They're supposed to sign some other guys and then, of course, bring in some Russian talent here. So I like what PFL is doing. It's a, you know, it's different, and I like it. Greenback, nice hoodie. Canada is awesome. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it, man. Yeah, keep me warned. It is honestly, it snowed all night. So just looking at the window, yeah, it snowed all night. That's Canada, though, for you. If anyone has any last second questions, throw them in here. I'll answer them. But I'm going to get out of here in a few minutes. just checking to see if I missed anything I want to talk about here. I mean, there was a pretty cool picture yesterday of Valentina Shevchenko and John Jones floating around. Basically, just them. They both look in incredible shape. They're both holding up their belts. There's a cool picture. Don Cerrone denied he broke his nose and orbital bone in the Conor McGregor fight. Don't know what to say about that. What else? Any other questions? No. Okay, so that's it. Short show today, guys. No worries. I'll be back tomorrow for the Friday edition of the podcast. Send in questions tomorrow if you want. Appreciate you guys tuning in as always. Follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin, and I'm available at bjpenn.com, MMArings.net, and of course MMAoddsbreaker.com. And one last question here for Greenback Zell. I'll answer your question before I get here, but what do you think about Calvin Kattar versus Jeremy Stephens? I missed this. It was announced like 2 weeks ago or something like that, and then they just moved it to UFC 249. So it was originally UFC 248. Now it's 249. Love the matchup. Great fight. Both guys ranked in the top 10. I don't know. I mean, I have to favor Calvin Kattar at this point. He's, you know, a little bit more fresher, but definitely a good fight. All right, guys, have a great day. I'll be back tomorrow. See you. Bye.